Erev in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey 1:5. This Mishnah is a direct continuation of the previous, and in fact, it starts out with Rabbi Yehuda still talking about his Shita, which was that the Korah serves as a Mechitza rather than as a Heker, as a partition through the mechanism of Pitikra Yord Vesosim, as opposed to a reminder as you leave the Mavui that you're entering into the Rishos HaRabim. And therefore, he doesn't care about how robust that actual Mechitza is, that the Korah. And therefore, Haisa shel kash o shel kanim, even if the Korah were made out of straw or out of a reed, which of course could not support a brick or a row of bricks, ro nosa ki iluhi shel matachas. You look at that Korah as if it were made out of metal, meaning that it's very strong. Now, most learn that this is just a figure of speech, and in fact, the strength of and the thickness of the Korah is irrelevant. However thin it is, it's fine as long as it's a tefach wide. It serves as a makeshift roof, a tikra, and then you have the mechanism of pitikra yor vesosim to block off as a bona fide mechitza, according to Yehuda. There are those that learn that since he sort of almost superfluously says we look at it as if it were made out of metal, that if it indeed were made out of metal and still it's so thin that it could not support a row of bricks, then it would be insufficient. That's a minority opinion over there. However, and most learn that Rabbi Yehuda's shita simply is that any thickness will do, and this is just a way of speech. The Mishnah continues, and now we're going back, according to most Rishonim, including the Bar Tanura, and we're talking about even the Chachamim shita here. Akuma, if the Korah is bent, it's like warped, let's say warped upwards, so it kind of looks like an arch, like a rainbow type shape, if you will. So then, now, of course, in practice, it's not going to be very suitable for laying a row of bricks on top of it. Nevertheless, ro nasa ki ilhi pshuta, we look at it as if it were straight and flat, meaning appropriate to actually lay the bricks on. Again, the bricks themselves are not important. What's important simply is that it's sufficiently prominent and robust to look like a permanent fixture as a reminder. The Gemara asks why that would not obviously be the case, like why in the world, if it's warped upward, why that would somehow make it invalid now as a Korah. And therefore the Gemara says the same would be true if it weren't warped vertically, but rather warped horizontally, meaning that like the part of the bulge in the Korah crosses over into the Rosh Hashanah. So now, even then, the Chacham, the Tanakam, would hold that such a Korah is kosher, meaning it's effective as a Heker, to allow you to carry inside the mavui, once you have your shitufim mavos, etc. However, that would be true only when the distance between the two ends of the korah that are within the mavui, before it bulges out to beyond the mavui, if those two ends are within three tefachim of one another. If that's the case, look at the hole, the gap, if you will, of the bulging part as being not there, but nevertheless, through the rules of Lavud, we say anything that's within three tefachim, one for the next, as if it's connected. So therefore, we look at this korah as if it were connected from the two ends, and therefore straight and totally within the mavui, allowing people to carry inside the mavui. Agula, if it is round. Now think of it like as a pole, like a baseball bat. And you've got the baseball bat serving as your korah, something like shaped like that, like, you know, round and long and skinny. Ro'onoso ki'ilu he murubat. We look at it as if it were square, meaning as long as the diameter of that cylinder, the baseball bat, is a tefach, so it doesn't matter that it's actually round, and of course if it's round, you couldn't actually put bricks on it because they'd roll right off. But that's not the point, though. The point is as long as it's sufficiently large, so that's it's going to be effective as a heker. And in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, effective as a mechitza. Now the Mishnah says something which is a little peculiar. For us, it says, "Kol sheyesh behakefo shlosha tefachim, any circle, in this case it's a cylinder, right, but the cross section is still a circle, that has a hekef, a circumference of three tefachim, meaning if it's a baseball bat, so to speak, that if you took a string and you measured around the baseball bat, it's three tefachim around, yesh bo rochav tefach, then the diameter, the distance like from one end to the other end of the baseball bat, going through the middle, is going to be a tefach. Meaning, in other words, the Mishnah is saying in simple terms, as long as the circumference around the dowel or pipe or whatever round piece of wood that you're using is 3 tefachim, then it's sufficient to be used as a korah. It has the width of a tefach. That's the Mishnah says, and that will be the halacha. The halacha is indeed like that. Let me sum up the halachas across the board, then I'll go back to the question about the geometry. So the halacha is, now summing up really the past three Mishnayos, we look at Tanakama, you need to have a heker as opposed to a mechitza, and therefore we paskin needs to be at least a tefach thick, and it must be able to support a row of bricks that would be laid on it, if there would be bricks laid on it, allowing for 1/4 of a tefach, a finger's breadth, overlapping on each end of it. La halacha, if the korah is actually four tefachim wide, so then it's sufficiently large that even if it couldn't support bricks, it's still sufficient. And we possibly should be a row of bricks if you're talking about just one tefach wide. If it's going to be bent, like akum, it's fine, as long as, like I said before. And if it's going to be round, like a cylinder, like a dowel or baseball bat type thing, it's going to be fine, provided that the circumference of the baseball bat is 3 tefachim around. Fine. Now let's just talk about the math for a second. So for those who are even mildly mathematically inclined, this should be interesting for you, and if not, then go to the next recording right now. Okay, which is fine. My point is that you don't have to listen. You won't be bothered by the mission more than that. But now, so there's a question in that, an age-old question, about the ratio of the circumference to the diameter of a circle. In other words, if you have a circle whose diameter is, let's say, 1 tefach, so then definition of diameter is it's going from one end of the circle to the other end of the circle. You draw a line, and that line goes to the center of the circle. So if that's 1 tefach across, so then what is the circumference of that circle exactly? How much, if you would take a string and go around that circle, what would the length of that string be? So the Mishnah here is saying it would be 3 tefachim. And in fact, that's based on a psukim. There are 2 psukim in the Torah that both reference the same phenomenon and say the same thing. Once in Divrei Yam and once in Divrei Yam Beis, actually, and once in Melachim Aleph, it talks about the Yam Shel Shlomo. King Solomon made a pool, which is like a mikvah, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah, the Psukim there say, I'll read from Divrei Yamim. This is a Divrei Yam Beis. That's a Perek Dalet Mishnah, Pasuk Beis. So it's 4:2. Divrei Yam 2. Divrei Yam is Chronicles in English. So the Pasuk says that pool that Shlomo Melech made is Eser Ba'ama Misfaso El Sfaso. It's 10 Amos, not one, but 10 Amos across from end to end. Agul Saviv, and it's like it was round, perfectly round, like a circle. And then it goes on to say the Kav, and the Kav means the circumference here, the line around the whole pool, Shloshim Ba'ama Yasovo So Saviv, a 30 Amma rope, so to speak, could wrap itself around the circumference, the edge of the big pool. So here again, what you're saying is the ratio is if the diameter is 1 or 10, so then the circumference is 3 or 30, same thing. Now, that's a bit of a question, in as much as nowadays we know that the ratio of the circumference to the diameter is actually a number that we refer to as pi. It's an exact number. I shouldn't say that. I should say we have the number pi to much more precision than simply 3. In fact, so that number called pi is a rather interesting number, because it's what's called an irrational number. Irrational means, simply put, it means you can't write it down. And what that means is it can't be expressed as a ratio of two other numbers. There's no fraction that will write it down. So most of the time, most numbers that we are familiar with, virtually every number you've ever thought about, is a rational number, meaning you could write it as a fraction, like the number 7, which is a 7 over 1 or 14 over 2, etc. And even a decimal, like 7.51, you could put as 751 over 1,000, etc. And even repeating decimals, like 0.751, 751, 751 forever, could also be expressed as a ratio of, let's say, 751 over 999, and so on. All the numbers normally can be expressed as the ratio of two other integers, two other whole numbers, and that's not a problem. The funny thing is that pi is an irrational number, and that means there's no way to write it down. There's no way to express it as the ratio of two other numbers. And therefore, the Rambam's approach to this Mishnah, this conundrum in general, is that since there's no way to precisely articulate how big pi is, no way to give the exact number of how many tfachim it should be around the korah to constitute a diameter of one tefach, therefore just it rounds down, keeps things simple, and simply says three. And even though the halacha will be three, that will be sufficient because, and even if we're going lakula over here, because we're a little less than the full amount of pi, since it's a rabban anyways, it's sufficient and it's fine, and we rely on that. And the Magid Mishnah himself also points out that if it would be a doraisa issue, we would actually not be lenient. We would not go with this approximation of three, but we would go with something bigger than pi. But since this is derabanan in nature, we'll rely on this sort of rounding down to the nearest integer, and that's no problem, it should be fine. The Rambam himself notes that in his time they knew pi as an approximate number of 22 over 7, which already was known from the Greek times, from Archimedes proved that pi was somewhere between 220 over 70 and 220 over 71, so that's he knew it there, and that's not bad, not a bad approximation, and that's, I think, what most people before having calculators handy used as their approximation in, you know, in the 20th century. Now, putting that all aside, there's something a little troubling about the psukim, in as much as even if we'll accept that it's difficult and sort of impracticable to articulate pi better than, you know, a ratio of 3 to 1 for our Mishnah, back in the psukim over there in the Yam Shel Shlomo, and actually it's twice the psukim, both in Divrei Yam as well as in Melachim, Aleph. So you could have done a little better, because you could have said it was 10 amos across and 31 amos around. That would be closer, because pi, like the actual figure for pi, is approximately 3.14, and more digits after that, you know, again, forever, 159, 2653, etc. So the question is, why did the psukim not give a more precise, close to the nearest amma measurement? And this has been a fact that many people who want to argue against the veracity of the Torah and the Tanakh want to point out that this, you know, this is a big problem, and suggests not that way. Chas v'shalom. So something very fascinating, though. This is really absolutely mind-boggling. In the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, when it talks about the circumference, it used the word kav, kuf vav. In the psukim that refer to the very same phenomenon, the circumference of Yom Shel Shlomo in Melachim Aleph, this is Melachim Aleph, you can look there in Perek Zayin, pasuk chav gimel, it's Kings 1 Kings 7:23, verse 7:23. So it refers to the same kav, circumference, but it uses, there's a creek sieve. And actually the word kav is written is kuf vav he, even though it's pronounced kuf vav, kav. And the truth is that we read that haftorah from Melachim every year. It's read in the haftorah for Parshas Vayakel. And so every year we have this weird tradition that even though the verse says kava, kuf vav he, it's read as kav, with the he silent. So that's called a kri kasiv, when you have a conflict between how the verse is written and how a word is written and how it's pronounced. So the basic idea of a kri kasiv is that the way something is written is kind of like the ideal concept, like the true reality. Whereas when you have something that's like, it's going to be articulated in a way that's not quite like how it's written, so then that's like an imperfect actualization of those concepts. So you're talking about sort of like a human perception. So here, although we have it being kuf vav he as the kasiv, the way it's written, it's kuf vav the way it's read. It's pronounced kav. And now something really remarkable. I'm sure for a very long time, no one knew why there was this Greek kasiv. But the ratio between the gematria of kuf vav he and kuf vav he, meaning kuf is 100, vav is 6, he is 5, that's 111, versus kuf vav, which is 106, the difference between 111 and 106 is almost precisely the difference between pi and 3. The difference is much, much, much similar than the Archimedean number, or the numbers you had in ancient Babylon, Egypt, Greece, India. All their approximations were nowhere near as close as the approximation that you get from this Krika sieve, which is absolutely fascinating, really mind-boggling. Just that means, for example, if you use the Krika sieve, so it's just to do the math, make sure it's clear, like 3 multiplied by 111 over 106 gives you a number so close to pi that if you make a circle the size of planet Earth, so Earth has like a diameter of about 7,917 miles, and if you did the circumference of a circle that big, it would be less than 1 mile off. That gigantic circle that covers the whole Earth would be less than 1 mile off than if you used the precise number of pi. In contrast, the 22 over 7 would be 16 miles off. The Babylonian number would be 211 miles off. The Egyptian approximation, 240 miles off. The Indian approximation, 263 miles off, etc. So the Creek sieve, Kav versus Kavav Hey, is incredibly precise and mind-boggling so. It certainly suggests that the tradition was there, that there was a much more accurate way of measuring pi that Chazal were aware of, and therefore they require this Krika sieve to exist forever, even though, for simplicity's sake, we kept it very simple and said that the circumference is 30 in the case of the Yamshel Shlomo and 3 in the case of our Mishnah, and that's sufficient. And halacha l'maisa, like I said before, if you have a round dowel or baseball bat which has a circumference of 3, it is indeed sufficient to be used as a korah. That'd be quite a thick baseball bat, to be honest. But it would be sufficient, even though its diameter would be slightly less than a full one tefach. But halach lamaisa, we're being lenient here, because it's just a derabanan, and to allow people to carry in the mavui. Okay.